Welcome along, welcome along. Something a little bit different. Yeah, we know we talk about lots of stuff during the week, but at the weekend, myself and AJ, who joins me as well. AJ, say hello. There's AJ there.
Hi.
Yeah, we're going to have a kind of weekly roundup of all the kind of stuff that we talked about during the week and one or two other things as well, both from here in Ireland and some of the stuff from that's happening in the UK that's kind of directly related to us as well. So if you want to join in, you can't. I would see you were expecting me to say text 53544 or whatever the hell it was. But no, you can't join in. So look, it's just a free for all. We can just say what we want and you can't even challenge it. And by the way, I don't even have to be radio friendly. So I can say things like fuck and it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
Wow.
She's thinking to herself, I didn't think we were going there. Anyway.
Yeah, we're here already.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, I'm melted here. Should I have not worn the jacket, AJ? See, I was trying to look all professional. You know what I mean?
I know. I've literally got a t-shirt on. I'm like, what are you doing?
You know what you should have said there, because it goes out in audio and video. So the ones that are listening in audio, you should have said, I'm literally naked here. And that would have made them go to the website and watch the video. That would have been better.
Yeah, of course. They might want to see my white t-shirt.
But maybe. So AJ, as you know, in case you don't know AJ, and some of you may not know her, AJ worked with me as a producer on radio going back about a year and a half ago. And we've had a great relationship ever since. So we decided we'd kind of do this together at the weekends. So, and hopefully, look, we want you to listen to it and continue to listen to it every week and support us like you do the day at the midweek show. Now, so I suppose the first thing we have to talk about is the weather, because we just mentioned how warm it is. And I'm in the studio here and it's absolutely stifling, even though I've got two fans behind me here. There's no air conditioning. And everyone keeps saying to me, but you said you'd like to live in Florida. Surely you'd love the heat. And I go, yeah, well, they have air conditioning in the houses in Florida. You're in the UK, so it's even worse there.
Yeah, so it's 26 degrees here right now, and that's cooling down. I think it got to 34 degrees today. It's been 35, 36 degrees. It's absolutely boiling. And that's the thing. I used to live in Spain where you had air conditioning in the house. You had air conditioning in all the stores, all of that. Here, there's no break from it. And that's the thing. And it's so humid as well. So it's close. It's that sticky kind of feel.
My mother used to use that term. I don't even know what it means. It's very close today, isn't it? Well, I mean, what does that even mean? Close.
It's very close. I don't know, but it's close. I tell you, it's close.
So, good day for drying the clothes. That's what you'd say.
It's great. I'm getting all my washing done. It's fantastic.
Right. But see, here's what happens. So we had 3 days. Well, we've had about 3 days, 4 days maybe at this stage. It's a little bit that of decent weather, right? RTE on the first day, they just couldn't resist it. They couldn't help themselves. The one with the straight fringe haircut. What's her name on the news? 61 News. What's her name? She kind of has a straight fringe.
Yeah, I know Sharon Tobin.
Yeah, she reminds me of kind of Mystic Meg or something like that. Anyway, so she's out there and she's standing at some estuary and she has George with her, George Lee. He's like the prophet of doom, right? Because he was the one during COVID who was telling us every day how many people were dying and sick, right? So he's there standing beside her and she goes, lovely day. You can hear all the people having a great time behind me here on this beautiful day and beautiful weather. But George, it's not all good, is it? This is what climate change is all about. And I went, oh, for fuck's sake. I said, you're not just giving a rest for one day and just having ice cream. I mean, what's their obsession?
No, it is. It is an obsession. And even when they've shown pictures of the weather reports from back in the early 90s and the temperatures are higher than they are now. And they're completely different colours. So their weather forecast was orange and green and blue. And now it's like red. even redder again to show how like it's actually on fire. And it's not even as hot as it has been. You know, I understand that it's hotter as May goes. It's hotter. We've broken records. But I mean,
I don't even believe this were broken records thing, right? Because I was reading up, I went into this kind of down the rabbit hole last night, right? And if you go back in time, back to 1975, where, you know, that was one record, 1995 was another record for May, right? But, like, and it's only 1 degree in the difference of what it is now. They use different equipment. So they use equipment with mercury thermometers, mercury barometers. Nowadays, they're all digital. And also, they would have been, you know, when you build up cities and they become denser, you have more concrete, which contains the heat. So that increases the heat or the humidity in an area as well. So all those things have to be taken into consideration. And they're not. And they're measuring ground temperature, you know, at airports. We don't know what size the airport was back in 1975. Or was there more wind? So it's just not comparing like with like anymore.
Yeah, it's not actually scientific at all. It's not a proper scientific experiment. And that is a really good point that you've just made. We're breaking records comparing it, but you're not comparing it properly. So
No.
are we actually breaking records? I've always found that we can have really hot weather in the UK at this sort of time of year. There's been Paddy's days that I've had over here before where I've been absolutely sweating. We've been out in vests, and that didn't
In
happen this
March.
year. Yeah, in March.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
absolutely. Yeah,
Okay,
been
yeah, well,
absolutely roasted.
okay, you're down near London somewhere, so I don't want to say exactly where
Yeah.
you are, but you're down near London somewhere, and you've moved back to the UK for people who aren't really interested in where you are. You've moved back to the UK and you're working over there. So, by the way, I'm delighted to see that you're working over there. You're getting on well. You're far better
I
off.
am.
Yeah,
Yeah,
far better off,
thank
let me tell you, than being over
you.
here and listen to the Irish politics constantly all the time. But I'm assuming you're still following all the stories. But
Yes.
in relation to the weather, I mean, look, I've no doubt the weather is changing and the climate is changing, and it may get warmer. We're allegedly coming out of an ice age for the last God knows how many 100,000 years. But I'm thinking to myself, they're saying if this continues and we continue burning fossil fuels like this, it could go up another degree in the next 10 years. I'm going out my 3 liter diesel now, because if we can push that temperature up another degree for the rest of the year,
Oh, I hear you
I'm
say
all for that. I'm all for that.
that, Martin. I do think, though, that we have to take into account that weather has changed all of the time. Like the temperatures have changed, things have shifted across the world. We have to take that into account. It's just that we're putting everything down now to climate change.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. That so and it's not actually factual, I don't think,
No,
personally.
I know. I don't think anybody's willing to listen to the other arguments, and there is other arguments, but they don't get funded. They don't get airtime because they're considered to be naysayers. Some people listening to this right now are going to go, "Boylan's a climate denier." I'm not a
Yeah, I know.
climate. No, I know the climate's
This is the
changing.
thing.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're
Yeah.
responsible for it or not. That's the only thing. Anyway, now here was an interesting story that we kind of covered on the show, right? And it was in relation to the census have released new figures. And what they do with the census is, as you know, over the 4 or 5 year period, they release little snippets every now and again, right? So this particular snippet was 22% of Irish people identify as disabled. Now, I looked up, when I saw that figure, I went, what? That's nearly one in four are disabled. I said, I'm thinking of four people I know now. They're not disabled. I'm thinking of another four. They're not disabled. This couldn't be true. Couldn't be true. And I looked up the world population according to the WHO, and it's 16%. America is 13%. So where are all these disabled people? I do think there's loads of people just scamming the system, pretending to be disabled.
But what is actually what how do they classify themselves as actually disabled? Like what is it?
Oh.
Is it something that's going to be very visible? Is it something that people are going to talk about? Is it something that, if someone has a disability, do you necessarily know about it? There's disabilities that you can't see.
No, I know that. And by the way, I don't want to denigrate those people who genuinely have a real disability and deserve all the supports and help they get. They probably should get more, actually, in fairness. But I remember many years ago, George Osborne in the UK, who was a kind of Secretary of Finance or Minister for Finance or whatever they call them over there, the Treasurer. What do they call them? What's the person called over there who looks after all the finances?
Oh yeah, the oh my gosh, what?
There you go. You should know this. But well, anyway,
Oh,
you should
my
never think she was a news raider in the UK, would you? Anyway, so. Him, anyway, George Osborne, many, many years ago, decided to do a whole, review of people on disabilities because there was too many people claiming disabilities. So he called them all in and said, right, you all have to go to an independent doctor and check. And something like half of them, I think, if I remember right, he don't quote me, but half of them, weren't actually disabled at all and quite capable of working. They were just basically saying, oh, I have a bad back for the last 20 years. Well, then sit down and get a job in a telecentre or something like that. So I just think, I have a bad back. You know what I mean? I was really sick last year. I actually worked. You actually witnessed it. I was working with 40 degree temperatures, sweating, while I had mad purple spots all over my legs while they were swelling. Do you remember that? As according to I
I
was do
remember what I remember, yeah.
as according to I was doing the show, I was sending AJ photographs of my legs, and they were getting
You
bigger
were
and bigger, and I had fans.
literally, oh, and you were having to, do you remember you were having to keep them up, raised up with
Yeah,
fans around?
I know.
Jesus.
So, I
I
mean,
know,
so
but that wasn't even, yeah.
the point I'm making is, I'm technically, I was illness. I was going through an illness. I should be getting illness to benefits or something like that. But I still have a disability as such with my back and everything. I get sciatica. But I'm still working. I don't claim disability. I just think too many people are claiming for something and just get out and get a job. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it is easy to say that, but I mean there's a lot of people there who find it difficult to go out and get a job for whatever reason. I don't know what is actually classifies you as disabled. Is it, if you've got agoraphobia or you've got high anxiety, is that what's classifying you as being disabled as well? Because oftentimes now these kind of things aren't taboo subjects anymore. People are talking about them and people understand that they do maybe have some sort of form of disability that does stop them from going and getting a job because it's something that is being diagnosed now. People are being diagnosed with different things, whereas they weren't before, and it wasn't something that was spoken about before. So I think that that's where the difference is. It's not that we have more disabled people now, it's that there's more people that are aware of it and
But why
less people
particularly
are.
Ireland? Why particularly Ireland? I mean, the rest of the
Is it
world
just
seems to
here
be
in
happy
Ireland
with the
though?
seat. Yeah. Well, the rest of the world seems to be happy enough at 16% of the people disabled. We're at 22. That's 1 in 4. I mean, you must know at least, I don't know, 200 people. Can you honestly tell me that 1 in 4 of them is disabled?
No, definitely. No, I wouldn't have said so. I wouldn't have said
No.
so. Is it a case where I just don't know about it, or is it a case where the figures are skewed because people are lying? I don't know. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but
I think that
definitely no. Wouldn't
there's genuinely
one in four
disabled
people
people,
don't
but
know it.
I think some people are just kind of scamming the system. Now, the return bottle thing, what's that? Oh, the scheme called. Oh, yes, the Ireland's deposit return scheme. Now, I don't know if you have this in England. I know they have it in Scotland, but I don't know
Not
if you
here,
have.
no.
Okay. But you experienced it
No.
here for a very brief time.
I certainly did. And from when it came in, and it was honestly a nightmare. I actually did it on your show when I was covering for you when you were really sick. We
Okay.
did it. We did
Yeah,
the deposit
trying to
returns.
rob me job. But go on anyway. Yeah, go
I
on.
was trying to steal your job.
Sick. I'm a
No,
sick
we
man trying to steal the
yeah.
job of a sick man and no conscience
Who's
whatsoever.
helping you out?
Yeah,
There's
that's
no
what you said at the
possible
time. I understand that's what you said at the time, but you were kind of hoping against hope that maybe he'll be too sick to return and I'll get a job full time doing a talk
Niall,
show.
Jesus,
I
Niall, you're so cynical. No, but we
heard
did
you.
do
I
the
was listening to you while I was in hospital on my dying bed. I was listening to you. AJ Walsh here filling in for Niall Boylan. That was the first night. Niall is very sick. And then by the time we got to kind of night 4 or 5, AJ Walsh here, there was no mention of Niall Boylan anymore. Thank you for some coffee.
Yeah, not true at all. That is so
I know
not
it's not. I'm just making it up. But that was funny. But go on. So
It
yeah.
is
So yeah. So the,
funny.
getting back to this returns game. Yeah.
And so we had at the, we went out to Mr. Price and we bought our recycling bags and we had them in the utility room and we had literally every time you lifted it up, it was dripping, it stunk of beer, it had flies around it, it had
God.
wasps around it. And there we are going down to Tesco's. And every time I'm down in Tesco's or Lidl or any of the supermarkets, you can shop anywhere, of course, we're not advertising any of them. I'd be going down and I would
Hold
have a
on, hold on.
stink.
Will you stop? You're not on radio now. It doesn't matter. You went to Tesco's, it's grand. Or Lidl,
Yeah, it
the
was
cheap shit you went to
Christmas.
Lidl. Go on. So.
Every time you're there, then you've got this like sticky, stinky hand. Where oh, it's up. It was honestly, it was absolutely ridiculous. And you get down there as well, and the machines wouldn't be working. The whole thing was just an absolute joke. There are broken machines everywhere. People dumping cans everywhere. And we've got recycling bins at home. We're paying for somebody to collect our recycling at home. Like, what is the issue here? So now it's not here in the UK, but there has been talks about them bringing it in. So I mean, I'm hoping they don't.
They
So I haven't
will.
heard
You know
now.
they will. You just know Starmer's looking for money. You know they'll bring it in. Now, the 66.9 million in uncollected money, by the way, return the company who are running it, who are a non-profit company. Now, when I say they're a non-profit company, they have a CEO and they have a board of executives. You can be damn sure they're not on the average industrial wage. And so they're making, a few quid for themselves, for their wages and salaries, but it's a non-profit company. But here's the thing. So the whole idea was the stuff was meant to be recycled. And yet most of it's not being recycled in Ireland, I believe. It's been shipped off somewhere else to be recycled. I mean, what's the difference in us just flinging it into the old green bin that we, pardon me, we used to just fling it into? I got
I
my
know.
cans of Red Bull. I've actually, there's a bin, if you can see the bin over there,
I've seen your bin before, Niall. I've
there's
seen
about
your bin.
15 cans on the top of it, empty, guzzled in the last 2 or 3 days. Yeah, so I wouldn't be arsed. Like, why would you be? But and what they did was, instead of rewarding you, like when I was a kid, we used to get money back on the TK bottles. The old the TK bottles or lemonade bottles, whatever it was, right? So my mom would keep a few of them. She'd give me 4 bottles and say, bring them over to Pat's. That was the local shop. Bring them over to Pat's and buy yourself something. So I go over to Pat's. You get 2 pence back on each bottle. You'd have 10 pence. You'd buy a packet of crisps and an ice cream or something, right? You'd be delighted with yourself.
That's your reward. Yeah.
So that was the reward. But the Green Party didn't give people a reward. They actually punished you. They said, we're actually going to charge you more for it. And we're not giving your money back unless you bring back the bottle. So it was like, instead of the carrot and the stick, it was the stick and the carrot.
Oh, 100%. Done completely backwards. And you'd be looking at your shopping at your receipt. And I mean, it's expensive anyway. And you're like, how much am I paying extra for these cans or bottles or anything like that? It did get to a point where I was like avoiding buying anything like that, that I'd have to then return. And then, I did just get the kids to bring it back then, and just they could keep the money. That was the way I did it, because I just got sick and tired of it.
And then you have the scavengers in town. Yeah. I witnessed them in Delir Street last week going through the bins, pulling all the stuff out onto the road. And, you know, taking the bottles and bringing them into the spar shop and getting a few quid so they can buy some food. God bless them. They're buying a bit of food, maybe homeless people. But there's professionals out there doing it too. Professional gangs who are sending women out to search these bins. Primarily women.
And then, do you remember in the city centre, they designed those bins with the shelf underneath them?
That was the mayor. The mayor came up with that idea. Like a little teeny shelf. What's that going to do?
I know. And I mean, the cost and the amount of work that went into designing these bins and making them and setting them up. And it's just, what are we doing? And then if there's a gust of wind and they're all blown across the street.
Yeah, I saw a picture one the other day and it had that little tray thing around it. It's like only the width of a bottle around it, right? And it was like four bottles lying down on it where the wind had blown them over and loads them all over the ground beside it. It's a stupid idea. I mean, some consultant probably got 200,000 to come up with the plan for it. And then it went out to tender. And they probably paid a ridiculous price for somebody to come out and weld all these things
up. To actually see those figures, I reckon you'd be gobsmacked. But that we did that as well. We covered that. I think actually maybe you covered it. Or anyway, maybe you or I covered it.
Maybe it was another time you were trying to rob me job. When was that?
Yeah. That was a different occasion.
He's gone on holidays. He might not come back. He could get killed over there. I could get his job.
I mean, with a bit of luck.
it was a pleasure having you filling in for me, AJ. Okay. Yeah. So the other thing as well is you probably don't remember because you're a bit younger than me, but most people would remember. Young people of Ireland, I love you. It's not an episode of Fawlty Terrace. Do you remember? Do you remember that?
No.
Ah. I'll give you a clue. This is only good for people who can see it on the video, okay? So if they're watching on YouTube or whatever, okay. Young people of Ireland, I love you.
Oh, I know what this is. Yeah. It's the Pope.
Pope on a rope. So the Pope was here in 1979, John Paul. Yes. We all thought he was the belle of the ball at the time, but then stuff came out afterwards we didn't kind of know about. Anyway, then he kind of knew about stuff that he should have said. So there was a million people, still the biggest single crowd at an event ever in Irish history, right? It'll never be repeated. A million people in the Phoenix Park, not including what was lining the streets and everything else, right? I was there in the FCA with me gun, standing in Dame Street, 16 years of age, sweating. Anyway, so So me.
That's so interesting. Put that in the book.
That's going into the book. There's a lot going into the book, by the way. There's a few people shitting themselves over this book, by the way. Can I just point out? I hope he doesn't mention me and what I said to him 4 or 5 years ago. I will be mentioning you. Yeah, so there it was on Dame Street with me gun, 16 years of age, because I joined the FCA.
Were you?
Huh? Were you never in like the Girl Guides or something like that when you were younger?
No.
Right. They're kind of most of these organisations are quite a bit dodgy anyway, aren't they? But I was 16. You're meant to be 18, but I lied about my age, like all the class, and we all got in. And we got paid kind of, you know, this kind of substance amount of money. So anyway, I was there. So Micheál Martin was over during the week with Pope Leo the 9th, is he? 10th? 9th? Something? 9th?
The 14th?
14th, is he? Right, okay. Well, he's a Leo anyway, right? So, and he's invited him over to Ireland. Now, to be fair, he's probably not going to come for a few years, right? Because I know this year alone we have the King and there's a good chance Donald Trump will come in September for the golf. So like we're going to be out the door with official visitors this year. So even if he comes next year or the year after, right, we were kind of asking the question, is he welcome on a very serious note after all the shit, you know, the Catholic Church has put Ireland through over the years? Do you reckon he's welcome? Do you reckon he'll pull a crowd even?
I do reckon he's welcome and I do reckon he will pull a crowd. I think that There's mixed reactions to the Catholic Church now, but I definitely think there's a very much an underlying feeling of forgiveness now. Now I could be completely wrong, but I do, especially with the way Pope Francis brought the church, and he very much recognized the wrongdoings, and he addressed them. You know, they weren't swept under the carpet, and I think that he did great things for the Catholic Church. Now, it's not going to pull crowds like a million in the Phoenix Park or anything like that, but I definitely think he's welcome, and I definitely think that there's still a strong sense of faith in Ireland, and I do think there is respect, and I think there's respect for this Pope as well. So yeah, I could be naive, but I think that there is, and I mean, I for one would be happy to see him visit Ireland
Would
for
you?
sure.
Would you?
No, yeah, I would. And you know, I'm not religious, but I just have a respect for different religions, and I have a respect for the
That
Catholic Church and
surprises
the
me. I
canon.
mean, you were
Yeah.
at an event last week, which was Armin van Buuren or whatever his name was, van Buuren. And this week you want to go and see the Pope. There's kind of a bit of a stark contrast between the two.
I think you can go to a you can go to a rave 1 week, and you can go and see the Pope the next. You know, we're living in modern times now.
I know, but if you're not religious, what's in it for you?
It's not that there's anything in it. It's also a case of I'm not religious, but I do see there is something quite sort of nostalgic and, you know, comforting about the church for me, having grown up in Ireland. A lot of people wouldn't agree with me. A lot of people would have, you know, the complete opposite thoughts about the Catholic Church if they've, you know, suffered abuse or they know somebody that has, or, you know, I know certainly members of my family are very against the church. They're very anti-Catholicism, but I'm not, and I don't know. I have a strong sense of it, but I'm not religious.
Do you bring your kids up religious, like believing in God or?
No, I definitely encourage them to make their own decisions, but I don't bring them up religious, but I do bring them up with the values that with Christian values, but it's not in a religious sense. And I suppose that you could argue that that's just, you know, human values, really. It's like kindness and, you know, thoughtfulness and to be caring and, you know, to do your best and treat others the way you want to be treated. And they're all things that I learned growing up from the Catholic Church. But as I've grown up, I'm like, feel that it is more just they're just human values. But yeah, no, I think there's a place. And I think that, I don't know. I just think that the popes now recognize what happened and they do try and address it. And I don't think that it's been swept under the carpet anymore.
Oh, so you think there's genuinely a kind of change, because it was,
I do.
almost like an epidemic at one stage, wasn't it really? And it wasn't so much about, let's be fair, it was only 1.5% of priests that did this, right? But that wasn't the real problem. The real problem was the culture of hiding it, wasn't
The culture of hiding is sweeping things under the carpet, and also sort of people in positions of power, and having, you know, thinking that they're prophets or they're gods, you know, almost, because they're representing God. And I think that that has a lot to do with it. And I think that's why I'm not religious, I think, because I don't think that anybody should be above somebody else in that respect and have a sense of power over somebody else. So yeah, so that's why I wouldn't prescribe to the Catholic religion, but I do respect it.
So you don't agree with people having power over other people?
Well, not in that way,
Oh,
no.
I was going to say, is that why you don't stay in jobs too long? No, I'm joking. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do my own thing. I'm joking. I'm joking. Okay, now you're obviously, working in media now in the UK. So you've been part of the whole voting experience over the last 3 or 4 weeks, with the local elections over there, where Reform, of course, swept the board essentially, and put Keir Starmer in a huge amount of trouble. We've had kind of similar situation here with the by-elections. And it seemed, I mean, according to Ben Scallon, when I was talking to him last week, there was a kind of apathy towards voting now, which is that and some of the quotes that he gave me was, I couldn't be arsed. That's what people in the streets were saying. Like, are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for? I couldn't be arsed. And there is a kind of apathy towards voting. Now, I don't know if it's the same in the UK or not. And when they did vote, what surprised me was, particularly in the city centre, they voted left. Now, the left are brilliant at marketing, vote left, stay left, all this kind of stuff, whereas the right just fight against each other. So that's probably how they do better, But they did vote left. I mean, you had three left wing in the 1, 2, and 3 in the city centre, which kind of was, and the Green Party came in third. I mean, that blew my mind. I mean, I thought they...
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm really surprised with the Green Party,
yeah. So is it the same in the UK? Is there a kind of vote left situation, and is there an apathy towards voting? Are people not bothered anymore? Or?
There's definitely an apathy towards voting, and with the last few votes that happened in Ireland, you could see it with the turnout at the polls. There was, I think, in the one here in the UK, so it wasn't every area; it was only some of the areas, and there was a 40% turnout, sort of a 37 to 40% turnout. So there's definitely an apathy towards voting. The majority of areas, though, I mean, the amount of seats that Labour lost was off the charts. I was covering the news that night, actually, and it was just like, oh, you know, another Labour seat gone, another Labour seat gone, another Labour seat gone. It was reform, all over, literally all over the country, from places where Labour had had their seats historically for hundreds of years, and they're gone. Their seats are gone. And then that's what led to then everybody saying, well, we want Starmer out, which I personally don't think is the answer.
Do you like him? What do you like?
I don't like or dislike him. I just don't think that that's the answer. I just think it's going to cause more instability, and especially within the party. And
but how could you have more instability than they actually have at the moment? It's a mess.
It is a mess. I think things are well. So there's the by-election happening in Makerfield at the start of June, and that's going to what they're hoping is that Andy Burnham then will win that by-election, and then he will contest
the leadership.
Sir Keir Starmer.
Yeah. Leadership. And look at you giving him his full title, Sir Keir Starmer.
I'm used to what I have to do in work.
Is that a thing, by the way, when somebody has a peerage or a title, do you have to actually give it to them all the time?
Well, no, not all the time. It's just the first reference to him, you would say Sir Keir Starmer. And then after that, you could say the Prime Minister or you could say...
Right.
But the first reference is always Sir Keir Starmer. So that's what they're hoping to happen right now. But I don't know. I just can't see it making any massive changes. I mean, Wes Streeting now is saying about, we'll talk about Brexit again if I was to become the leader. I don't know. Are they just saying these things just so people are like, ooh, that would be interesting. Let's give him a try.
Do you think if there was a Brexit vote tomorrow, I don't know if they've done any polls over there in relation to it. And I'm assuming once he said that, somebody started doing a poll on it.
I haven't seen any polls. I would be really interested to see. I would be really interested. I don't know what would happen, because anybody on the street that I've spoken to, like anybody, you know, friends, family, that kind of thing, they're all, oh God, wish we never left. Wish Brexit never went ahead. So I don't know. And I'd be interested to give it time.
I mean, they were told that Brexit would take 20 years before the economy would stabilize. And everybody, I knew everybody would go into a panic and want it back again. But I mean, I just think that countries, if they can, they're far better off out of the European Union. If they can do it, and if they can use their own resources, et cetera, which Britain can. They have so many resources. Starmer's just not doing a good job of getting those resources out. For example, you know, there's plenty of oil and gas, but they're not drilling.
They're not using it. And that's it's mind-boggling, really. You know, you've got Brexit now, so why aren't you trying to do that? I don't know why.
I would have a bad feeling if they had another referendum. Now it would take years to organise that again, but if there was another referendum, I have a feeling they would go back to the EU, because it wasn't a landslide the last time. From what I remember, it was only like 54% or 55% or something. It wasn't really a landslide. So I think those 5 or 6% of those in betweeners, because of what's been happening over the last few years,
sway to the other side.
I think they would sway to go back again, you know, and that would be an awful shame, because I would like to see that experiment complete itself. And that would, as I said, would take 20 years, you know, because it would be a good barometer for us to see if that works out. You know what I mean? It was never going to work in 5 or 6 years. I mean, that was never the plan. I don't know if people thought that was going to happen, they were delusional. Anyway,
I think people were delusional. I think people were naive, and I think people didn't think about it economically at the time. The majority of people who voted for it. And I think that if they had, I don't think they would have voted for it, because it's a long time. It's a long time, because especially the voting age you know, if you vote for that when you're 40 and you're not going to see the changes, the positive changes until you're 60, you'll be like, oh,
Yeah.
you know, that's a long time to wait, you know?
Could I be arsed? Anyway,
Yeah.
on a more serious note, there was a story, of course, that you had mentioned to me, but we had actually talked about it as well during the week because we were talking about the age of criminal responsibility. And this is in relation to these teenagers who arranged to meet girls, teenage girls, and then rape them. And they went to court, and the judge said it wasn't in their best interest to give them a custodial sentence and gave them a community order instead, which basically just like community service. Behavioural order. Yeah, JLO, isn't it, really, like, I suppose, to some degree.
Similar,
for raping two girls. And not only raping them, but videoing it and putting it up online. Like, it's just, now I know the Director of Public Prosecutions, or the Crown Prosecutions, or whatever they call it, the UK, has sent it back for appeal on, you know, for the severity of the sentence.
The Attorney General has sent it back to the Court of Appeal. Yeah.
What? I mean, that is outrageous. I mean, why would a judge do that?
So the judge said that he didn't want to criminalize children. And his reasoning behind that is that if children who perhaps wouldn't be committing other crimes, you know, if it was just a single offense, and they go into the prison system, although it won't be just a regular prison, it would be like a youth thing. It would be
like Overs Town.
So it would be. So then they spend their life not able to get out of that system, and they're back in, and they're back in, and they reoffend, and they reoffend, and there's no actual chance for rehabilitation. So his reasoning behind it was that he had to think of them as children, not small adults, and that he wanted them to have the opportunity to actually rehabilitate. And also, on top of that as well, I know that there was a combination of special needs, like learning disabilities, with a couple of these boys. And he took all of that into account as well. Now, I do understand where he's coming from, and I do understand the reasoning behind it, because when you do have offenders go into the system like that, it is very difficult for them to get out, and they will reoffend and reoffend for the rest of their lives. And that is just...
But where do you draw... I mean, I understand the point you're making. I understand the point he's making.
100%. Where
do you draw the line on that? I mean, this is serious. This is next down to murder. So, like...
Yes.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, that's okay if you're talking about somebody stealing a jacket out of Tesco's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Lidl, or I'll mention all the other shops too, like you did earlier.
Yes, or Aldi, or Dunn.
I mean, that's okay if it's just, you know, shoplifting or theft or burglary maybe. But rape, how does he even think? I mean, it might be the first time somebody's committed a crime, but it should be the last time, and they have to be punished for it. Because the victim said it was like getting a brick in the face when she heard, you know, what happened at the sentence. And
right, think about those two girls as well have had to go into the court and have had to relive it and relive it and relive it. And this is why the Attorney General said, you know, the only, I can't quote him directly, but it was something along the lines of, the only punishment for a crime as bad as rape should be jail. And that's it. And that's why he basically said that he wanted the case to be looked at by the Court of Appeal. And,
But this is kind of soft touch justice, you know what I mean? This kind of nicey, nicey justice that, you know, this progressive type justice, and oh, God love them, and they'll end up in a life of crime, and they'll learn more in there than they will outside. But I mean, if you keep thinking like that, should nobody be ever sent to jail? Do you understand what I'm saying?
And there's definitely a line, and I definitely think with this as well, that it's not only that, it was premeditated. It was premeditated.
Planned. Yeah, they arranged to meet them. Yeah, online.
A lot. Yeah. It wasn't on a whim. And there was one of them definitely was more the instigator and had put pressure on one of the other ones. And, you know, there is a lot to it. And this is why, like, I do trust judges. I'm not, thank God, not a judge, you know, and I do have to trust.
I'd love to be a judge.
We'd be screwed if you were a judge maker.
You'd never want to come before me. You're going down. Yeah. I just say to him at the very start, before the case even starts, just, you do realize you're going down at the end of this. I just let you know.
Yeah, like, doesn't matter what you say.
By how much, I don't know yet.
Maybe my judge.
But you're going down. Yeah, but in saying that, I mean, to even think or consider not putting somebody in jail, I don't care if they're already, how old are they now? 16 now, is it? 16, 17 now? They were 15 at the time it happened, was it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, one of them was 14, so one of them is 15 now. And then, yeah, two of them are 16 maybe. Although, actually, no, I think they're actually both 15 now, because I think the crime only happened, it wasn't that long ago.
Mm. I mean, when you look back, the age of criminal responsibility in the UK, I think it's pretty much the same as Ireland. I think it's 12 or 13 years of age. And I mentioned during the week the Jamie Bulger case, where it, John Venables, Robert Thompson and John Venables. And they were treated as adults from the moment they were arrested. None of this protecting children and not giving out their names. Their names and their pictures were published in the front of a newspaper the following day, both of them, because they were treated like adults, because they committed a crime that's considered to be an adult crime. You know, it's not stealing or it's not something silly. It's considered to be an adult crime. They murdered a young child, you know, and like it's the right thing to do. I don't care if they're only children. I mean, look at those two now. I mean, John Venables has been in and out of jail ever since. He was arrested again, given a whole new identity when he got out of jail. He was arrested again for downloading, you know, indecent pornographic images of children or whatever it was he was up to. Yeah. Put back in jail again. I think he's been in and out of jail four or five times again since. The other fella hasn't shown his face. We don't know where he is. Well, nobody would know, of course, because he's changed his identity. But he could be in trouble again. We don't know. But these people don't change. I mean, psychos don't change. Rapists don't change. It's the most reoffense rate of any crime, paedophilia and rape. So, I mean, these people don't change.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that this is where you draw the line. You said, where do you draw the line? And I think, you know, you draw the line before rape and murder, because I think that's a fundamental problem. If you feel like you can commit a crime like that, or if you do commit a crime like that, stealing something, you know, hot wiring a car, that sort of thing. That's when you can kind of draw this line and be like, right, let's try and rehabilitate. And
yeah, I understand.
An environment. And yeah, and it was like, remember we discussed before when we had the riots in Dublin. And there was
this when you were filling in with me another time or something like that, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, you
when I was sick or ill or something like that, or dying or something. No.
No, you covered this one. You covered this one.
Okay.
But at the time, there was quite a few young lads who had, it was their first crime. And they were being, you know, getting the worst kind of punishment for it. And I was saying to you at the time, like, I think that that's not really the right way to go. And you were like, nah, put them in jail. They're scallywags. Well, you said something else, but.
Yeah, I probably did use other words. I've never used the word scallywag in my life. My mother used to call me a scallywag, but I don't think I've ever used it. I know. I don't think I've ever used the term scallywag. Yeah, I probably call them. Yeah, a word beginning with C. Anyway, so I don't have a huge amount of sympathy for people who commit serious crimes, particularly when there's, you know, when there's a one-to-one victim. You know, when we talk about, say, crimes that involve fraud or fines or whatever, I think we can deal with those with community service and fines and other ways. But when you're talking about people who are an actual physical danger to society, you know, and who are going to, I mean, I have no doubt somebody who rapes a woman will do it again. Because it's within them. The idea that they can go and violate another person without their permission is clearly within them. It's a power thing. That doesn't change. I don't think it does anyway. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think someone with
a behavioral order?
I mean, like, would you even associate with somebody who was a rapist?
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't at all.
Yeah.
And like you say, that those two poor girls, one of them saying it was like a rock to her face or her chest, you know, after everything she had gone through, for the boys to walk away. And I mean, that's her life now. Both of the girls, that's their lives affected forever. You know, they need rehabilitation now. They're the ones who need the input, who need the money spent to try and help them to navigate the rest of their life after that trauma.
Do you know what blows my mind as well? Parents who stand by their kids sometimes. Okay, I can understand for certain types of crimes, right? And I don't buy this blood is thicker than water, right? But like, if your son was 16 years of age, let's say, and raped a woman or killed a woman or whatever, something serious, could you really go into court every day with him and stand by them and go, oh, that's my son. He didn't mean it. He'll never do it again.
I know exactly what you mean. It's something very difficult to try and even think about. I can't even try and comprehend it, but no, I don't think I could.
You're on your own. I did the best I could. I raised you as best I can. You went out and did something like that. Sorry. You're on your own.
Yeah, I agree.
I couldn't stand by some. No. If they robbed in a shop or something like that, of course you would. You know, you try your best to help them out and then just make sure that they never do it again.
Which shop mall? Tesco.
Tesco, Stuns, Little, Aldi. Mention them all if you want. The other thing as well, finally, obviously immigration is a huge problem. We couldn't do it without it. We couldn't talk to each other today without us mentioning immigration. And the EU Migration Pact comes in on the 12th, which is not something that's going to affect the UK, but it certainly will affect Ireland. And essentially, it's meant to streamline dealing with asylum seekers and people who come into Ireland to claim asylum. Currently, at the moment, we have, I think it's 26,000 people awaiting approval. We have another, I think, 15 or 20,000 people who are awaiting appeals. We've God knows how many people, other people got into the judicial system. Like, there is tens of thousands of people in the system for years and years. And somehow, the government is trying to sell us this idea of the EU Migration Pact, that it will speed up the process. So, when we've had independence to deal with it ourselves and Europe are not involved, we haven't been able to speed up the process. So why do they think we're going to be able to speed it up as and from next month? Well, that's just not, it's just not going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Nothing.
No.
And the latest is now, if we don't take them, you know, at this moment in time, we do have a level of independence under the Dublin Convention, the Dublin Convention. We are allowed to send them back to the nearest safe port or the first safe port. So if they come into the UK, we can send them back to the UK. Not that Keir Starmer wants them back, but we can send them back. We don't do that, but we should be able to. But that will be removed then, because the EU will be able to put an obligation on us that we have to take them. And if we don't take them, we have to pay the EU a fine, an annual fine. I think it's like 27 or 28,000 a year per person that we refuse to take. I mean, this is just mind-blowing stuff. So now the government are going to build 6 super centres for immigrants to come in. But what I can't understand is, right, I know you're a bit of a lefty, right, kind of, in your heart. Right, I don't think you kind of show it outwardly, but there's a little smidgen of lefty inside you, right? But what I can't understand is why we let immigrants come into Ireland to claim asylum and then go, okay, we've signed you up there now, it'll take a few weeks or a couple of months probably actually before we get back to you. Have you got an address? Well, actually, no, we'll give you an address here. Go to this hostel or this hotel or this IPAS centre, stay there, and we'll write to you and let you know what the story is in a few months' time. In the meantime, there's a few quid for you and some clothes, and you can get your food. Here's some vouchers for food, and you can wander all over Dublin. We don't even know who you are. We've no idea. You could be anybody. You could be a criminal. You could be a murderer, a rapist. We don't know who you are. We don't even know what country you're from. You have no identification, no passport, but you're off, you go there now and wander around town. I mean, why aren't we locking people up like they do in other countries into a big detention centre? I'm not saying treat them inhumanely, by the way. Treat them humanely. You know, 3 hot meals a day, all the rest. A nice bed. And put them in a detention centre, speed up the process. You can stay, fair play to you. You're coming from war torn. Off you go there, get yourself a house and a job. See you, we don't believe you. You're one of the 80% who's an economic migrant. You're going back to where you came from. Why can't we do that?
Well, it is obviously, it'd be nice that if we didn't have to do that, and if, you know, you could trust people coming in, but it has just gotten to a point where there are people that are being dishonest and they're coming in under false pretenses. And so, yeah, I don't know why we can't just do that, because but the thing that we are doing is really nice if everybody's being honest and if we are trying to help people that are coming from persecution or war. And yeah, we should be able to do that, but it's not. It's not a fairy tale.
But 80% of them are not coming from persecution and war. They're just coming for a better life. And by the way, who can blame somebody wanting a better life? But in saying that, I can't go into America for a better life. Do you know what I mean? Because I have to have a visa. You know, or I have to have a reason to go there.
Yeah. There's tight rules there that have to be stuck to. And it's not just America either. You know, same with if we wanted to go to Australia or
Canada or anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't understand why there's such a taboo over wanting stronger, tighter systems for people coming into the country. I don't understand.
But here's
if
the thing,
you say something like that, you're accused of being
racist.
Yeah.
We don't even need tighter regulation. We have really good, robust immigration laws in Ireland. We just don't enforce them. Somewhere about 10 years ago, somebody at some point said, don't enforce the law. If somebody comes into this country, they have no passport, which is illegal, by the way, under Irish law, under the Illegal Alien Act. If they come into this country with no passport, no identification, you're meant to be taking them straight to a courtroom and straight to jail. But that doesn't happen. It has happened once or twice, I think, in the last couple of years, oddly enough.
It's very lax, the enforcement. It's very lax altogether. Because like you said, it is against the law. And what would happen if we arrived, we went on our holidays and arrived without a passport? I guarantee you we wouldn't be getting into wherever it is we're going.
Mm. Yeah, I would be putting them all in a detention centre. I wouldn't be letting them out. I'd make sure there's a high wall around it so they can't get out. And I said, you're staying here until we sort you out and process you. I would speed up that process. I would, if you can hire thousands of staff, by the way, for COVID-19 to give out vaccines and do all that sort of stuff, you could very surely call this an emergency and hire loads of people to do this temporarily until we get the numbers down. And because that in itself would be a deterrent for people to come here. And then in the meantime, while they're waiting, I would say to them, by the way, if you want to go home, you're welcome. We'll give you the money for the plane fare. While you're here, by the way, while you're waiting, if you want to go home and get out of the country and don't want to bother waiting, we'll give you the money. Off you go. Off you pop. We'll even bring you to the airport and make sure you get on the plane. Do I sound like a right racist now?
A little bit. I mean, a little bit.
Stop. See, I knew you had that face. I knew you had the kind of slightly worried face. But is Niall going a bit mad there now? No, I'm just being honest.
No, I know, and I do see what you're saying, but it's somewhere in between what you're saying and what's actually happening. I think we could find a happy middle ground there.
Really? Would you lock them up? Like,
no, I would, no.
Why?
No.
Why would you?
No, but why would you let somebody
into your country? No, hold on a second. You have a responsibility and duty as an elected representative to protect the people of the country. The first thing you do is protect your borders, right? That's the main. Everybody does. That's just a thing, right? So why would you let somebody with no identification, no idea where they're from, they're lying. There was one fella in Cork. He had 19 different aliases, right? He was in jail in Cork for committing a crime. 19. They don't. And still, by the way, the judge still didn't know if that was his real name he was using while sending him to jail. So they've numerous aliases. We don't know where they're from. And they've no passport and no identification, no paperwork. And we can't even check because they haven't been in any other part of Europe through Interpol at any, or whatever it is, Eurodac, I think it's called. So we've no way of identifying them through fingerprints or anything. And you're saying to me, that's grand. You should let them wander around the streets.
Oh, I'm not saying that. No,
You said don't lock them up.
No, I wouldn't lock them up. It's just the way you're saying it. It's like there should be some sort of, you know, centre that they can go to until their identification.
With a locked door. Yeah, with a door, with a lock on it.
Is that I mean, I would put a door on it, yeah.
With a lock.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Okay, lock the door. I mean, just at least that way you can make sure that they're going to be there until you can prove who they are.
Okay. But anyway, look, I think we got through nearly everything there. Anyway, is there anything in particular that was floating your boat, by the way, this week? Anything else that was floating your boat?
Yeah, no, I just really wanted to talk about just that, the case with the three teenage boys. It just stuck out for me during the week. It was just one of those where you're like, what has gone on? How has that happened? Because a behavioral order, how far is that going to go? They're just chilling at home. They're just chilling. There's nothing's going to happen. And just to think about the poor girls. And then, yeah, the deposit return scheme.
Do they have ankle bracelets in the UK? I mean, not to say ankle bracelets, but tagging.
Yeah.
Do they?
Tagging, yes.
So why didn't they even tag these young fellas?
I don't know. I mean, that could have been part of the behavioural order. I don't know. One of them was for 18 months. The other one was for three. The other two, I think, had it for 3 years. So it could be a case where they had to wear them. I don't know.
Yeah, so the 18-month lad, he wasn't the worst. Well, I say he wasn't the worst. He was involved, obviously, in goading them on. And he was the one who videoed it.
Yeah, I think so.
And uploaded. So I think his charges were uploading indecent imagery, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why he got a lesser sentence. Still should go to jail, mind you. You know. AJ, it's been a pleasure as always. I'm going off now down to Tesco's or Dunn's or Aldi or Lidl or whichever shop that we haven't meant. Aspire, Super Value, whatever we haven't mentioned. Because AJ thinks it's a radio. That's a kind of radio thing. You know, that if somebody comes down the air and they go, oh, I was in Tesco's. Yeah, well, you were in Tesco's, but you could have been in Dunn's, you could have been Aldi or Lidl, yeah.
Or any supermarket.
Yeah, for that matter. Yeah, yeah. So listen, thank you very much indeed. And we shall talk again next week, I hope.
Yes, thank you, Noel.